money to the museum libraries, and every year I hope you enjoy
every. Well, I'm amazed that Parramatta have taken him back. For Jared, I think it's just a miracle.
It's kind of like, you know, in The Lion King, when Simba comes back, and that's great for everyone. But in this case, it's more like Scar coming back.
Yeah,
it's like
right.
a fucked up Hamlet. Cameron Smith should be made to wear, I don't know, a really heavy headgear just to bring him back to the field.
I've always advocated for a drug league where you could actually take whatever drugs you felt would help you to play better.
Isn't there a danger here, guys, that, you know, they could be the Blues playing quite well high and then they're defending their red zone and suddenly James Roberts is ordering a hot dog and Deliveroo?
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of The Voluntary Tackle, the only NRL podcast that thinks Josh Maguire's hair pulling is merely a front for something semi-homoerotic. My name is Eamon Brown, and today I'm joined by the man who strenuously denies being the person who loaded up Ray Hadley's son with some illegal gear. Of course, I refer to Chip Jones.
Mate, it's not illegal, really, to... Well, it wasn't me.
Just for the record, because I know you've had quite a bit of time now being interviewed by the authorities about this.
Mate, how many times have you seen me give away drugs?
Well, I'm assuming there's some kind of profit model going on here. Not that I'm accusing you of anything, by the way.
I would hope not.
Look, we're going to dive into some NRL action here, Chip. And look, it's been a big week, actually. Obviously, we're approaching finals time. And on the way home from work, I noticed a big story breaking, which was the potential sacking of Anthony Griffin from the Penrith Panthers. Now, my question to you here, Chip, is a pretty simple one. Is it wrong to sack a man who has a team that's just won, is in the top eight, and are genuine premiership contenders?
Look, is it wrong? It probably is. I think, you know, there's probably something going on behind the scenes here.
You think there's something Machiavellian going on?
I'm feeling something in my waters.
Mm. Do you have a uterus?
It's more the pull of some kind of unseen body in space.
That is
the gravity. I can feel the gravity. Mm. It's a bit like when I make my tips.
Do you have a theory about this? Do you think Anthony Griffin's been taken down by some malevolent force from within the club?
Well, look, I've been doing a little bit of research on this, and I've gone on the line.
Nice one.
Here.
Look at you, digital Nancy Drew.
Yeah, I'm really coming up in the world. A good friend of ours, actually, here at the Voluntary Tackle, someone that's sent us a few tidbits.
Oh, okay, so he's giving you a tip-off.
He's giving me a bit of a tip-off.
Who are we talking about?
The MWM, mate. The Media Watch Mario has come up, and I've got to say I agree with him. I think Trent Barrett's headed to Penrith.
I think that's the big word, do you? Look, I mean, there's no secret that, you know, Phil Gould and Trent Barrett are big friends. And Trent Barrett earlier in the year, I mean, all but basically said, I want out of this joint because it was so poorly run.
Well, he's loving Manly, isn't he?
Well, I mean, strangely enough, they're managing to win a few games. I don't know how. I mean, there's no one left. They've got salary cap dramas. The board all hate each other. Trent Barrett doesn't want to be there.
He didn't even show up in the dressing room half the time.
Well, that did happen
half a few times. You know, like I'll just go and get a Coke. Just a drinkable Coke, like a Pepsi, nothing.
Well, I mean, if Trent Barrett finds it hard at Manly, who are struggling this year, feels there's a bit of pressure, what is the kind of pressure he's going to feel at Penrith, where their coach gets sacked and they're going well?
It's a good point.
I mean, I think he's going to feel a little bit more pressure.
I mean,
do they only demand top two? I mean, because Penrith are, what are they, fourth, fifth, sixth, something like that? They're in the middle of the eight.
Clearly not
going pretty well one last game, and you're out, mate. Yep. You're gone.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, Gus is there. It's not like Gus to complain. I mean, let's be honest.
Do you think Gus has a hand in all this?
Well, he's kind of the Goliath that sits atop the pyramid at Penrith, isn't
he,
really?
Sounds painful, doesn't it?
Yeah, and he
weighs a bit. Does he have pants on when he sits above the pyramid?
Well, let's go with whatever you feel, you know, works for you.
That's all right. Well, it's nothing to do with me per se. I'm just trying to visualise what a giant on top of a pyramid would be like. And I imagine it's quite pointy and you wouldn't want to be bare-butted.
Yeah, look, I think maybe it would have been a good idea to put out a poll.
The seamless cues we have here at the show are just extraordinary, because we did actually put a poll out. I haven't got it right in front of me right now, so it'll be 2 seconds.
I'll just bring in some thinking.
Beautifully played. Here at the Voluntary Tackle. Thanks for that, Chip. Now, we did pull out a poll, and this was pretty professionally put out on Twitter on my way home between Town Hall and Wynyard for the record. And we asked our listeners, Chip, who would replace Anthony Griffin at the Panthers if indeed by the end of the week he was sacked? We put four options out there, Chip. We said, was it Gus Gould, Peter Griffin from Family Guy fame, Mark Geyer, or Anthony Griffin's mum? Now, out of those options, Chip, who do you think fared the best?
At a guess, I would say Anthony Griffin's mum would be the pick of the day.
Well, mate, you certainly know our listeners. Anthony Griffin's mum came in with a 35%. Very close between Gus Gould and Peter Griffin at 24%. And not many people were voting for Mark Geyer at 17%. I'm suspecting that's because he only has half a brain.
Yeah, I think you're being a little bit generous there. Look, one thing I did find interesting, now that you bring that up, it starts to make sense. A post from I'm an Immortal that I saw on Twitter today.
Yep, that'd be from Janice.
That basically said Mary.
Now, which Mary are we referring to?
Well, see, this is what I was curious about. Are we talking about McGregor? Because he's doing reasonably that well is, at the Saints, even though they're sliding.
Mm.
Or are we talking about the mother of Jesus?
Well, it's pretty cryptic. They're certainly very... Well, are they so dissimilar? I mean, a bald white man from Wollongong and the mother of Jesus. Yet, now that I think about it out loud, they're really fucking different.
Hmm.
I think he might have been thinking about Mary McGregor.
Maybe you could clarify that for us. Jump on Twitter and let us know. Was it Mary McGregor that you were talking about? Oh, I mean, have we missed the boat on both of those?
It's not a live podcast, so it'll be quite a few days behind the times. But I mean, certainly I want some clarification.
Days. Yeah, only a few days.
Yeah, that's been generous.
Might be a little bit longer than that.
I'd say Mary McGregor is probably tied up coaching a pretty successful club. It'd be a bit optimistic to say that the Panthers could poach Mary McGregor from the Dragons when he's doing so well, although they are on the slide.
Well, this is true.
The other thing I have to mention here, Chip, and I think it is worth mentioning, that we alluded to it before, that Anthony Griffin is a fairly successful coach statistically.
Mm. Yep.
This does seem like to be a pretty brutal decision made by the Penrith Panthers, if indeed it does end up being correct. What would the Penrith Panthers have done if they had a shit coach on their hands? Would they have hung, drawn and quartered them and sent them to every corner of the NRL competition as a warning?
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
It's very Braveheart, isn't it?
It is quite Braveheart. I think it's probably drawn directly from Braveheart. Look, I think what happens in the mountains stays in the mountains. And
particularly when it came to Ivan Milat.
I think he'd be lucky to get out alive.
Now, there is another little angle here as well, Chip, that, I mean, look, I'm a bit of an avid listener and quite a fan, actually, of Gus Gould, and that might make me unpopular to say. But now, so on six tackles of Gus this year, a number of times Phil Gould has had the question put to him, is there any unrest going on at the Penrith Panthers? To which he's always said, it's complete fabrication. There is News Limited Media. He's not a big fan of them. They've been going after him, and that seemed feasible. But has Gus just been lying here for the whole year? Because if this ends up being true, when he said there is absolutely no truth to it and all of a sudden Anthony Griffin is sacked, I mean, I might have to look at Phil Gould in a slightly different light here.
Look, I don't think Phil would have to be angry or upset or even have any, unrest, if you like, to sack someone. I think he might just say, well, mate, we really like you and you've done a great job and we'll see you later.
So you think there might just be quite an amicable fuck you?
Yeah, just like, thanks very much, mate, and fuck you.
Yeah, tear up his contract in front of him, but with a nice smile.
Yep, definitely.
And offer him one of those chuppa chups on the way out.
Yep.
Say, look, have as many of them as you want.
Have a lolly. Just leave the green ones. Yeah.
And also leave your wallet, your security pass and your dignity at the door.
Yep. And also, I boned your wife. Have we gone too far?
Yes.
Okay.
So we're going to move on. Now, look, there was another little bit of a theory going on here as well, Chip. I've done a bit of digging because, you know, I am essentially the 2018 version of Columbo. Ivan Cleary, there's another conspiracy theory going on here that there is a push to reunite Chin the Younger, Nathan Cleary.
With Clone the Older.
Chin the Elder. Yeah, Ivan.
Well, look, I think this would be an interesting get around for the dad clause, because if Cleary Nathan is trying to Cleary the Nathan, Cleary the Second, if he's trying to weasel out of his contract to join his dad, I think Gus might be pulling a little bit of a Lannister move here and just axing the coach and getting Dad in as a coach.
Very Game of Thrones. I think you're right on the money there, Chip. I think he's trying to make it a family affair, which I think gets a bit weird when you've got an entire squad and he wants to make it incestuous. You're going to get a lot of, you know, cousins fucking cousins, sisters fucking mothers, Phil fucking everyone. And that's no good for anyone.
It's tough to watch.
Welcome back to the Voluntary Tackle. Now, Chip, we're a fairly positive show. You'd know that.
Fuck off.
Exactly. So we don't like it when people are negative or giving people shit. It's certainly not anything we've ever subscribed to, which is why we're so angry to hear this story this week about Matt Chicken retiring.
He's a fucking whinger, isn't he?
On the back of online abuse. Well, it's that kind of rhetoric, Chip, I think, to be fair to him, that might have precipitated his retirement.
Oh, blow your fucking whistle.
I can feel your anger and your hostility.
I'm ready for this segment.
You are completely ready for it.
Look, I think yelling abuse at referees is the passionate thing to do. Where I think you've got to draw the line is, you know, don't ring the guy. Like, if you do get his phone number, like, don't go ringing him after the game. Once the game's over, you all shake hands. And this is something I loved about and still love about the game of rugby league is, you know, he might make a few calls or you see it a different way and you call him a see you next Thursday. But at the end of the game, you shake hands and you say thank you very much for refereeing the game.
Yep.
Because someone's got to do it.
So what you're saying here, Chip, is you can just have carte blanche, say whatever you want about the official, so long as it's within that 80 minutes.
80 minutes only.
So you could, I guess technically, say it's the 53rd minute, you could call up his family and abuse his family, but because it's during the game, that's okay?
Well, I like where you're going with this. I hadn't thought of that.
Because I'm just wondering if that what happens on the field stays on the field mantra.
Well, if he's brought his family to the field, then that's his problem.
Yeah, you should never bring them on the field. Never bring them. That's bad protocol. For next year, if Matt Chicken goes, the NRL could be in a bit of trouble because where are they going to get all their shit calls from?
We could go with someone with like two or three minor disabilities, maybe slightly blind, partially deaf.
Yep. A bit of a Helen Keller type.
Yeah, 80, maybe 75, 80 kind of IQ score.
Like a really thick Stephen Hawking.
Well, maybe really stupid, but slightly more mobile and definitely more alive. Because so they need to be breathing.
Yeah, well, obviously, this is pre-death. The thing about next year as well, he's going to leave a massive hole. Now, who can fill that hole is the big question. We're trying to solve things here on the show. We've never really done it successfully before. But if we want to get someone in there who could be as incompetent as Matt Chicken, I mean, we'd have to go pretty far afield, I think. And I'm going to propose straight from the outset, could we get Barnaby Joyce?
Oh, wow.
He could
That's
be a
left
head
fielder.
Ref.
Okay.
Because he's made some horrendous decisions in the last 12 months in his personal life.
Didn't he come out and say basically that, yes, I cheated on my wife and, yes, my mistress is pregnant, but I'm not 100% sure the child is mine?
That was about the gist of it, yeah.
I mean, that's special. I don't think Chicken could have come up with that.
No. I mean, and I don't think that's necessarily a case where Barnaby Joyce didn't know what was going on, a bit like NRL refs do. I think he knew where his penis was going. I think it was going into another woman repeatedly.
Yeah.
So it's not.
And then
really
he thought, no, I better pull it out. Actually, I'll put it back in. Actually, no, I'll take it out again. And
he could have just been indecisive.
He was quite indecisive.
That's what he tried to pitch to his wife, and it didn't go down well.
I fell over. I tried to get up. I fell over again.
Repeatedly.
I tried to get up.
Over a period of months.
And then afterwards, I kind of
inseminated someone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, look.
It was an accident.
I'm not proposing that we need NRL referees who do that on the field. I don't want it to become some kind of orgy.
Well, you've already proposed a field orgy.
Have I? Sounds like me.
And, you know, I'm all for it.
More after this. Chip, it was a big week for the NRL. They reignited the debate. Well, not even the debate. They reignited the process of anointing immortals. Now, it's a very prestigious title. We know there was only a handful picked, I think, in the early 70s, and there's only been a couple more since.
How many have we got total?
Oh, gosh, I haven't done the maths on it. What's Wally Lewis plus three? I'm not sure.
About five or six, I think.
I don't know. Is that with the hair?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, is this pre or post?
We're bad at maths on the show. We should never attempt it. But look, it occurred to us, we had a bit of a pre-production meeting and we weren't happy here at the Voluntary Tackle, and I think our listeners would know why. Look, an entire immortal ceremony went by this week without any mention of one Billy Slater. Now, I, for one, am ropeable.
It's a fucking joke.
Look, he's what else does he have to do to prove that every accolade that goes on, he deserves it?
Well, look, Billy Slater can win. Not only can he win a man of the match, right?
Yep.
He can effectively just walk on the field and win a man of the series.
Yep. That's all he did. I think he did his boots up. He did a bit of a piss.
Well, he didn't even walk on every game.
No, he didn't bother to.
He showed up 66% of the time.
Yep. And got 366% of the awards.
Yeah. And you've got to say, well,
fantastic arithmetic.
Hang on. Look at the guy's career. I mean, he's scored a fuckload of tries. He's been very successful.
He has.
And he's not an immortal yet.
Well, it's incredible. And look, if anyone has set a trend for getting awards disingenuously, it's Billy Slater. And for this awards ceremony to go on under the nose of the NRL and for them to not think about William Slater, I think it's disgusting. And we want to put that out to our listeners. We'll do that after the show. We'll want to know if you think that Billy Slater has been pretty harshly dealt with as well. But look, before we do that, Chip,
yep.
I'll put a question to you. You know, okay. You're my sage counsel.
Yep.
I need to go to you for these kind of things. What does Billy Slater need to do now to get noticed?
I think he needs to retire.
Okay. Would he have to do it in a fashion that's kind of going to put him on the big stage? Instead of doing like, oh, I retire, will he have to set his underwear on fire?
Well, that would help. But I think he has made the cardinal sin of not retiring quick enough to get into the immortal. I mean, they picked five immortals. So they're basically saying, look, Billy, you would have been in this if you had retired already. And I think the reason is that there is a rule. You cannot be an immortal if you're still playing.
Is that a rule?
I think so.
It sounds like one that should be around.
I mean, I know you would think that you can only be immortal after you've died, which is kind of like the joke of it.
Yep.
Right? Now you're dead, you're immortal. But they've given it to Mal.
Yeah. Right? Who's half dead,
and,
to be fair.
You know, I mean, he's half brain dead. And I mean, he was a great player.
He was, yeah.
He was a pretty average coach. I mean, he didn't really have much to do.
Yeah, it's a bit annoying that statistically he's a good coach, but I think essentially he went up to Cameron Smith, Cooper Cronk, Billy Slater, Jonathan Thurston, Greg Inglis, and just said, can you please just win?
And they went, yeah, we understand.
Thanks. Mate. Yeah, we'll do. I'll tell you what, Mal, we'll do that for a decade. Yep. And everyone goes, Mal's a genius.
Yeah. They said, look, we'll win for the next 10 years. Go and sit in the corner, Mel.
Have a couple of beers. Yeah. Have a couple of beers and wait for your immortal tag.
So, yeah, look, you raise an interesting point. You know, what hasn't Billy Slater done? I would never advocate, you know, giving him something he didn't deserve.
Clearly not. And look, I don't know if this comes down to who the selection panel was. But clearly, if, you know, the same selection panel that was in place that gave him Man of the Series was in place for the Immortals, then clearly
Darren
Billy would have got it.
Not in there.
Is there a rule now, Chip, where if you're from New South Wales, you're just ineligible to become an immortal?
I think you can. I think you can be part of the judging panel as long as you are outnumbered 2-1 by Queenslanders. Right.
So it's kind of like the UN if you're a third world country,
yeah.
But like essentially Queensland or like the United States, they can just veto it.
Yeah, or Russia.
Yeah, exactly. One of these big power blocks.
Yeah.
So someone could say, you know what? I actually think Brad Fittler was a good player.
Yeah.
And they can go,
fuck off, Azerbaijan.
No way.
Azerbaijan who?
We're giving that to Russell Bowden. Welcome back to the Voluntary Tackle. Now, it's not for us to do this, Chip. We don't do it very often, but we're talking Jarryd Hayne. Not because we have a mild obsession with him, but because he's genuinely in the news cycle again. Jarryd Hayne clearly hasn't had a great year, Chip.
No.
Tough to get your mouth around that. Well, exactly. And but look, Jarryd Hayne's PR machine has a response to this, clearly. Now, this week, I thought this was pretty clever. Jarryd Hayne came out and told the press, now look, I know my form hasn't been good this year, or for some years. He said, the reason for that's not because I've been shit, I'm paraphrasing. It's because I had a mystery virus.
Oh, okay.
Or a strange bacterial infection.
Yeah, okay.
What's your take on that? My question to the show, I guess, is it even possible for a germ to blame a germ?
Maybe he had in fuckwit Lenza.
Well, that's interesting. How do you define that? Can you actually get diagnosed with that
it's
from
a bit
a GP?
Like flu.
Yep.
But you're a fuckwit.
Right. So when a fuckwit gets the flu or a cold, yep. It's called, what was it again?
In fuckwit Lenza.
That's very nice. Mm. So he's been battling that for potentially some time.
I think it's probably been dormant.
Mm. I'd say it's terminal.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely, he should be on palliative care. the problem is, it is infectious, but it actually, it stays with the host and it just sucks the form and life and money out of anyone or any team.
Well, Jared Haye would hate that, wouldn't he? Mm. I mean, if he had a bug that sucked the money out of him, I mean, he'd be devastated because I'm assuming that's what he lives for.
Well, I think it sucks the money and life and pride out of everyone else around him.
Mm. Does it suck the humility out of you? Because it certainly seems like Jared Haye's been devoid of that for some years.
Well, might be that it's actually sucking the humility out of him.
Mm.
And feeding off it in some way, it parasitic.
It's getting stronger.
Yeah,
is that why he's progressively over the years become an even bigger dickhead?
Well, I think what happens is he draws on that to have a good game every now and then.
That's interesting. It's
like
almost
a bit of
like
a form bank.
Yeah, so he sort of stocks up on it. Mm. He's sort of like the asshole equivalent of the Hulk.
Yeah.
You know?
When people, you know, when the papers get too cruel, he goes, all right, well, I'll pull the game out.
Yeah. And I can do it, but to be really good, I need to be a cunt to everyone.
It's a bit like, you know, it's a real shame to have someone like that around because you know that he's genuinely talented, but he just doesn't care enough.
It's a real catch-22, which is ironic because that's usually the jersey number he wears.
And he can't catch.
Yeah. So it's doubly ironic. Mm. In fact, that probably just makes it factual.
Well, he has had a week or two of form.
Mm.
Can't deny it.
We don't like to be arrogant here on the show, so we thought these are our opinions, but we're going to go to our listeners on this. Mm. And so we put a poll out there, Chip, which I'm going to bring up in just a second.
Do, 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 yeah. You know, I really love it when you say you're so cool, you're naughty, naughty.
So what we said to our listeners, Chip, was what mystery disease do they think Jared Haye is suffering from this year? Now, we put out a few options. We said, is Jared Haye suffering from either HIV neutral, an NFL hangover, good bloke amnesia, or osteoporosis? Well, I'm going to throw in a fifth option. We weren't unfortunately able to actually vote on this, but I think, what was it again? Fuckwit Lenza?
Well,
that's not a bad option.
There's a few. We could go for in fuckwit Lenza.
That's the one.
You know, I'd like to bring up at this point Corey Farrell,
okay.
who does a great podcast we've mentioned before,
The Brown Carpet. At Lowe's.
And that's a bit of an Easter egg for you loyal listeners there. And look, Corey's mentioned Dreamweaveritis. Which
don't mind it.
I've heard of. Mm. I've tried to stay away from it. Basically, he's had too many dreams. He's followed too many dreams. He's been lost in a field of dreams.
He's still trying to find himself.
They've thought, if you build it, he will fucking ruin everything for you. And they built it and he did that.
Is it the problem when someone like Jared chases dreams and he's dreaming purely about himself that he never really needed to travel anywhere because he is where his dream is?
Yes, it's a real rabbit hole, that, isn't it? Because you're staring into the mirror going, fuck, I want to be that guy.
Exactly. And Jared eventually dawned on him, he goes, I think I am that guy.
Am I that guy?
Yeah, but I don't like who
I am. Or are you that guy?
What do you think the chances are of Jared Haye staying on at the Parramatta Eels?
Look, I'd like to see him coach next year.
Just for a bit of fun?
Just coach and play.
Should we make that a reality TV series?
Can we do a player-coach reality TV series, please?
What would you call it? MH370, the Haye plane.
MH3 Haye planeitis fuckwit
influenza
Dreamweaver cunt burger.
Exactly. It's catchy. But very quickly, we probably should read out the results here. For the record, very close. Osteoporosis actually won the poll at 32%.
Closely, it crept up there, didn't it?
It did. It rattled its way up there. Closely followed by HIV neutral.
So where's HIV neutral on the negative-positive scale? It's right in the middle, I would think.
I think it's a made-up illness, which I think with Jared Haye, I have the feeling...
Suits.
very much suits perfectly. The narrative, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because I don't think there was a mystery illness.
No.
If he was battling a mystery illness, Chip, it better have been the fucking Zika virus, because that's how bad he was playing.
Yeah, it's not really a mystery virus, though, is it?
Well, I mean, if it's only being diagnosed now.
Maybe the Russians poisoned him. Maybe he should have gone with like a Skipperl kind of, like, I was in the UK at that time and I touched a water bottle that was in that park and I got sick with radiation poisoning. I still showed up to training a couple of times. A
couple of times. I mean, he did play with like someone who had a cerebral hemorrhage a lot of the time, especially under a highball.
Yep.
So potentially the Russians were going after him.
Yeah, let's blame them. Fuck it.
Could this mystery virus, Chip, be the thing that's driven his bad personality?
I'd like to say so, but he's kind of had that longer than the virus.
Do you think the chronology doesn't work out?
Yeah, it's kind of, it's a bit like the numbers don't add up.
I kind of tend to agree with you there. Yeah. So we'll just put a line through that theory. Should we make all other NRL clubs, Chip, players be immune against Jarryd Hayne disease, whatever this is? Clearly we don't want this disease that's affected Jarryd. We don't want more Jarryds. So should we go through an immunisation program in the NRL just guarding against whatever the fuck Jarryd Hayne's got, even if it is influenza fuckwititis?
More or less. Look, I think the answer is quarantine.
Okay.
And I think, you know, when you've got HIA, a head injury assessment, yes. The HIA,
yep.
We could have queue time.
Okay.
Okay, so when Jarryd comes on, you just quarantine anyone that's tackled him. I mean, you've got to run through your subs a bit.
Straight off. Okay. Would it be even, more prudent then, if that's the case, just to put Jarryd Hayne in a giant bubble where he can't breathe?
Well, it would be helpful.
Yeah, for humanity.
You know, I think it's probably a great idea.
I'm prepared to go on the Shark Tank with that one.
Okay.
What would you call it as a invention? The Jarryd Hayne bubble, what would you call it?
I'd probably call it the condom.
Just a prophylactic against humanity.
Yeah, just a dick in plastic.
I guess I'm always an egalitarian, Chip, as you know. I like to make a level playing field, which is why I support the Roosters, because we know our salary cap is the same as everyone else's. So in line with Jarryd Hayne,
Melbourne's.
No, obviously they were off the Richter. They had several rooms dedicated to payments to Cameron Smith, but no one knew, apparently. But I'm wondering with this Jarryd Hayne situation, if we should potentially, just to level it up, say he is infected with some kind of disease, should we start infecting other players with diseases just to level it up?
Well, I mean, I have always been in favour of a drug league.
Should we have DCE infected with piles?
Oh, gee. With all the other things he's infected with, do you think that would be fair? At least he could sit down at the moment.
Problem, if you infected with someone like DCE with a disease like that, he's just so affluent, he would just pay the right medical person to get over it.
Can you really pay for pile removal? How does that work?
I don't really know.
Can you lance a pile?
You can't lance it, but I think you can drain the anus. Yes, it's that time again. It's multi-madness.
This is one of my favourite parts of the show, I must admit. What am I up to?
Now, we started to set a cumulative tally here, Chip. Did we write down the figure? Unfortunately for me, Chip's actually been rather successful in the last couple of weeks in tipping a few multis. I think he's up to $125 per $1 spent, and I'm up to the lofty figure of no dollars. But that's not neither here nor there, really.
I actually wrote some notes down on that.
Well, there's no need to write a thesis on it.
I wrote a big circle next to your name.
Thank you for that. Yep. I appreciate that.
It's quite round.
That's okay, mate.
See? Yeah.
Jump into the nightmare that is my life. Well, the water is still warm.
Look, I'm going to give you a chance here. I'm going to go a little bit rougher this week. I'm not going to tip any Roosters players, or I'm not going to tip the Roosters. I'm going to leave them out.
Very quickly, recap for the listeners who may have missed it. What have you been the two successful bets in the last 2 weeks?
Well, I tipped O'Sullivan to come on for the Roosters, previously unheard of, who was stepping in for Cooper Cronk while he was helping his wife give birth. I'm not sure whether he delivered
the baby. I don't think
that
was a betting option, was it? Did you have to go to in such granular detail?
I did my research. Cooper Cronk hasn't dropped a ball, didn't drop the baby either, so I'm very, very proud of him. So I tipped O'Sullivan to come on and score a try for the Roosters and the Roosters to win, which he did, and they did. So I was 23-1 up there. Next week, I tipped Latrell Mitchell to score a brace or two tries. And he went ahead and scored three to make sure of it. And the Roosters beat the Dragons as well. So I'm now
I think that was 27.50, wasn't it? So what are those two together?
About 52 to 1.
52.
I'm picking the Titans over the Panthers. I'm going to go a little bit longer. I think the Panthers were lucky to get away with it last week. And I'm also going to tip the Raiders because I just feel sorry for Ricky. And I'm sorry, Big T, but I think they're going to beat your Tigers down in Canberra.
Well, they do have a horrendous record against the Raiders, the Tigers, of late. And not just that they tend to lose, they tend to lose big. So I think you might be on the money there. So what is the grand tally of those two leagues, if indeed you are successful?
I think I said $4.
I think I said
$4.40.
Did you carry the Wally Lewis?
I think I said $4.40.
Possibly.
And it's $4.39.
Oh, you're out then. So you fucked it. You fucked it.
Yeah.
I'm also going a two-leg multi. I'm going to go on the beloved Roosters, which I think is probably obviously the game of the round. We're playing South Sydney. The Roosters are slightly outsiders at $1.96. And I think a pretty good bet is actually the Cowboys to knock over Brisbane. They're paying $2.35. I think with the Cowboys, with all their players there, playing the way they did last week, they're going to be tough to beat up there. Jonathan Thurston, not many games left for JT at home. They're going to be playing for him. They want him to go out a winner. He's had such an amazing career. So I think that's pretty good. So mine's paying $4.60, Chip.
Wow.
It'd be very nice to get on the board. So that's my multi for this week. Outside of the game of rugby league, is there anything you'd like to bet on in the world of American politics?
Oh, look, I'm going to be a bit more conservative. I'm going to say within the next 4 weeks, some of the 30,000 sealed indictments that are waiting to become unsealed will bring some very famous names undone and into jail cells.
It's very vague. I don't know if we can really bet on that on Sportsbet, but I'll certainly check and we'll be back after this. Welcome to Who Wants to Be an NRL Smartass? Are you ready?
Yep.
Complete this phrase. Don't make a mountain out of a...
Barnhill.
Incorrect, Molehill. Which legendary humanitarian was recently honoured in South Africa for his contribution to world peace?
Billy Slater.
Correct. What recent tragedy saw an entire football team facing certain death as the eyes of the world watched on helplessly?
Yeah, it was a Thai soccer team trapped in a cave.
Incorrect. It was actually Latrell Mitchell's hat-trick against St George. Which Aussie was recently recognised with the Fields Medal for outstanding work in mathematics?
Ash K. Venkatesh.
Incorrect, that was Billy Slater as well. Which entity recently tipped a value of more than $1 trillion for the first time in history?
Daily Cherry Evans contract.
Correct. True or false? The Islamic State would win in a State of Origin match against Queensland.
False.
Correct. And for an extra point, why?
Queenslanders would fight much dirtier.
Correct. Well done. You were winner of $1,000 to be spent at Lowe's, but you can only get the used underpants.
In a first this week for the voluntary tackle, we have a breaking news segment. Penrith Panthers have sacked their coach.
So it's official?
It's official. Since we've been broadcasting, Anthony Griffin is gone. Now, I understand that Penrith have said, we'd like you to finish off the season.
Okay.
And not come back next season.
Did they say those words?
Pretty much.
That's fantastic, isn't it? Could you finish off the season, and just as the important part, never come back?
And Griffin has turned around and said, well, actually, I think I'll just leave now.
So he's gone?
He's gone.
So he's gone from this week?
He is finished.
Wow.
And it looks like they'll be looked after for the rest of the season by... Cameron Coraldo.
Yeah,
the
assistant coach.
Coach will now be a caretaker coach for the rest of the season.
Well, that is huge news. Look,
Top eight team.
Unbelievable.
Has it happened before?
Probably not.
Here at the voluntary tackle.
I mean, it took...
Breaking news.
The Roosters a long time to axe Chris Anderson. And we were last the whole way. So for someone to be axed when they're a genuine premiership contender is almost uncharted territory.
Well, look, I think this, for those loyal listeners who have listened to the beginning of this podcast,
I hope you have listened to it sequentially.
Because
it'd be concerning if you haven't.
When this airs, you'll probably find some nice continuity between us saying, we think something's going on behind the scenes here, and then we're coming back to tell you that, in fact, he has gone. And I think in the next week or two, you'll find them naming a new coach for next season.
Well, or will they go with Corraldo? It's hard to say.
No, I believe, and my source tells me, that there's a big name about to drop.
Is it Trent Barrett?
For next season's.
Can you confirm Trent Barrett for us?
Look, I'm not going to confirm yet.
It's Trent Barrett. Just say it. Just say it. Look, that's huge news. I've heard that Corraldo is very tight with Nathan Cleary. I get the sense there's a lot more to this story. It's only just broken, so this is just intuition. I think there's a lot more to this story than that report says. But I think Nathan Cleary is a major variable in this. There's been talk of Nathan Cleary walking from Penrith because he really wants to play with his dad.
Well, Ivan Cleary up some things next week.
Yep. It'd be interesting to see how it goes. Could there potentially be a Nathan Cleary reunion?
Well, look, I'd like to see Ivan Cleary go to Penrith, actually, and coach there. I think it could be a big love-in, big love fest. And, you know, if there's an orgy in at Penrith and there's some nice girls there, I'll happily come and inspect.
Oh, West is best, as you know.
Inspect some...
Could it be the case where Nathan Cleary comes and Trent Barrett comes?
On the same... person?
Yeah, same cheerleader, and they make Griffin watch it.
Yep.
Well, that brings us to the end of the show, Chip. And you know what I like about this show is we've actually brought far more information than we've had in previous shows. That breaking news on Griffin, I have to concede, it wasn't down to our expertise.
No, it was down to me.
Well, it was down to the news cycle, wasn't it? It was you checking your smartphone.
Well, no, it's down to Chip Jones.
Yeah, I wouldn't take too much credit.
Chip Jones.
Do you have any parting words for our listeners?
Look, I think we've found our equilibrium again. We've been a little bit off kilter the last few weeks.
What does that mean to be off kilter? Is that a bit like Roseanne Barr doing a hula dance?
I'm not sure about Roseanne Barr. I mean, she was on medication. Mm. I'm not sure whether she's come up with a bit of a Hayne excuse lately on something like that, but. When I did go to my doctor and I checked in, there was a guy, I know you're not supposed to listen in, but I overheard the guy that was in before me, and the doctor said to him, well, look, I've unfortunately got some bad news and you've got Alzheimer's. And the guy said, oh, it's horrible. And he said, and also you've got cancer. And the guy said, well, at least I don't have Alzheimer's.
And on that note, we'll see you next week. What we're going to do is we're going to draw two club names from a hat right now, live. And then what we're going to do is discuss which mascot we think would win in a fight.
To the death.
To the death, exactly.
And how would they die?
Well, that's TBD. We don't know just yet. Depends on
which mascot. Well, I don't know. I don't know
who we'll find out.
We're going to have.
We'll certainly speculate. So what I need is two numbers. You can't see these.
7 and 11.
Okay. So what we have here is a battle between the Sharks and the Titans.
Oh, goodness.
Very different. Okay.
Is this on land or on water?
Well, that'd be the first question.
Is it a home game or away game?
Yeah, you're right. So if, for example...
Well, let me... I said 7-11, so yep. Who's 7?
That's the Sharks.
Sharks win.
Because they're at home.
Well, you drop a Titan in the water and see how it goes against the Shark. We probably should have picked a better... Well, it's not really a fair...
It's random, so we can't sort of pick beforehand. But look, let's not write the Titans off
just yet. Okay, that's a good point, because do they have metal armour? Because if they do, they're going to sink and die, but they probably won't get eaten.
Are you making some assumptions about Titans? Because we know that they do wear metal, but how do we know they don't also wear pretty up-to-date snorkel gear?
Or floaties.
Potentially. Maybe that would give them an equilibrium. I think even then, think about a shark.
Yep.
They're going to find it pretty hard to chomp through that metal. So even if the Titan is drowning, the Shark might not be able to finish the job off.
So you're saying it's a bit like a forfeit?
I've never really thought about this. What the fuck is a Titan?
Well, you know...
Is that a Roman soldier?
Yeah, there's some kind of gladiator.
Yeah.
I believe.
Yep. They normally just have a cod piece and a shield.
Yeah, look, if we'd gone the other way around and said it was a Titans home game, Shark's got no chance.
It would just asphyxiate.
How are you going to even back a shark there? I mean, I can't even see it maybe it could have fallen on him and hurt him somehow. Yeah. But
I mean, look, in was it Jaws 4, The Revenge? The one with Michael Caine?
4.
I think it was. That shark seemed to go pretty well on land because it used to jump on the boat. And I think at one stage it took Michael Caine's leg.
Yeah.
And then went back in the water and chilled out for a while.
Yep.
So I don't know if that's factual or not. But in that case, the shark did pretty well on land.